Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. So I'm reading Peter King's column, guys, and it's great. I mean, I'm not ripping the column. He just fails to mention what I think is a pretty big storyline across the league, and that is the best left tackle in football held out of minicamp and still does not have the contract extension, with camp beginning for him on Thursday. Well, Wednesday is when they'll report. But no mention of it as one of the top NFL headlines for camp's opening across the league.
How is his column altogether now that he's moved? Is it the same?
Very similar.
Very similar, and I think it's more organized.
It's more visually distinct, Chad, with the sections kind of roped off and stuff like that. But I think they've done a poor job. I go to look for it at Florio, at PFT, this morning, and there wasn't a link to it. So it's at NBCSports.com or whatever it is. Well, I don't want to go look. I need it to find me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I found it, but I don't think it's easy enough to find right now, which is an error. Also, I'll say this about Peter King while we're on him for a second. Zip it with Monday morning quarterback stuff, okay? You left. Now, last week, they did something where they had the political donations of every owner in the NFL that showed you stuff. Amy Adams Strunk wasn't very prominent in there. And Peter King tweets, I'm so proud of these guys doing this. Peter, you're gone now. All right, I don't want daily stuff with you praising your former place. It's just old. If you decided to cut the cord and let it go, then let it the bleep go.
It's almost like he either has regrets about leaving and wants to stay attached to them, or wants to continue to be sort of seen as in control. And these are all his people doing his work, carrying on his legacy. So, by the way, I went to NBCSports.com and tried the top of the page. I don't know how this was hard for you to find.
Well, because it's supposed to be tied into Florio, which is NBC Sports owns PFT. Why wouldn't you have it feature prominently at PFT?
I also just searched Peter King column, and it was the first thing that popped up.
Well, again, I'm not saying it's hard to find based on the search. I'm saying I shouldn't have to search for it. Everything I want to read generally finds me. It's on my Twitter feed. It's at the places.
Is he not tweeting it?
That it's been.
Yes.
He tweeted it?
That's how I read it last night. He tweets it.
Yeah. I don't think it's that
I didn't find.
But doesn't Lawan deserve mention in this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care whether he mentions him or not. It's a big story.
I don't think it's being treated like a big story, like it should be.
Well, I mean,
I don't hear anyone talking about it.
I don't mean it's a, yeah, it's a story worth mentioning, especially with the other holdouts,
yes,
potential holdouts that are going on. Here's what
the magnitude of what it would mean for this team.
Here's what I surmised last week, and it's further complicated, obviously, by Conklin being out. So are you playing your fourth string tackle during training camp? And is that bad? Obviously, it's bad. Walter Jones never did any training camp, right? Every year he was getting tagged, he held out, and guess what? He was great on opening day every year. Now, I'm not saying Taylor Lewan is Walter Jones, but I'm saying if he's not around for a while, remember Walter Jones. It's not like a receiver holding out in terms of, oh, he's going to have a hamstring, because receivers who hold out or miss camp wind up with a hamstring. As of last week, what I learned was there hadn't been much in the way of conversations. And my feeling is he's going to have to make a decision on Wednesday as to whether it's worth it, or to whether he felt like he made a good statement by not showing up and got their attention and whatever, or if he wants to take this to the next level. You know, it's certainly better for the team if he doesn't take it to the next level. I think it's probably better for him and his leverage if he does take it to the next level. And I don't know. I don't know what will
Well, happen. So you think the Titans are prepared to draw a line in the sand and say, you got to play, and not talk to him?
No, I don't think it's necessarily about not negotiating. I think they're probably starting point numbers. This is me.
Yeah.
I think their starting
point
numbers.
That's why we're asking you.
Right. I'm saying I think their starting point numbers are probably pretty far apart. You know, I suspect the Titans think hey, if we sign you a year early, we should get a little bit of a break for that. And I think Lon probably thinks, hey, guys at my level are getting 17 a year right now, and it's my time to get 17 a year.
Yeah, Lawan is thinking you will get a break by signing me a year early because a
next
year from
be
now,
a year.
Yeah, a year from now, contracts are only going to rise. That's the other viewpoint of it.
I'd pay.
And I'm with you. It's a much bigger story than is being reported right now. And
this is not just the best. It's not just the best lineman on the team. To me, you can argue he is the best left tackle in football.
I think top five. I don't know if I go all the way to top. I have to look at the
value
list.
Wise for what he means to his team at that position.
He's right up there. It's a big story now that's about to get bigger if there's no resolution soon.
And we talked about that distraction thing. Look, they're not giving him a big contract before Thursday in order to avoid distraction. But on Wednesday, what are the first two questions that Mike Vrabel takes right now? What's the status of Taylor Lewan? What's up with Don?
There also has to be a functional value to practice at some point. Right?
Yes.
It's not just distraction when you don't have your two tackles practicing on the practice field during when camp opens. That eventually is going to have a negative effect on the team.
And there are.
And you get to a preseason game where a guy's allowed to hit the quarterback all of a sudden, and protecting Marcus Mariota is job one of this team. Now you're talking risk, okay? Who's their first preseason game against? Green Bay?
Green Bay, yep.
You think a guy on the edge on Green Bay doesn't want to beat Dennis Kelly or whoever's playing left tackle?
In those five snaps.
In those five snaps and put one on Marcus Mariota? That's where I get scared. If a week before that game he's not in, that's where I get scared.
Well, see,
to me, that's the mark. So I give them a week or 10 days right now where it's not that big.
Here's the other value, though, because I can just say quickly, you know, oh, 5 to 10 snaps in preseason game number one. What, you know, they can do without Lawan for that game if they had to. But think of it from implementing the new offense, getting reps within the new offense, and wanting Marcus to take reps with the new coordinator. You want the best offensive lineman protecting him.
And there's some new offensive line stuff going on, and they haven't done it with contact, right? So,
but aside from just the preseason talk, Lawan is one of, if not the best player on the team.
Yeah, Blake
Lock
Bedingfield told us
Lock
the best athlete on the team, which is saying something on a team with Adoree Jackson.
It could become a problem. I mean, with the new offense, with everything else, and I know it's 5 to 10 snaps we're talking about, but
no, it's more than that. It'd be with the new offense. It should be more.
Without him?
Yeah, right. It probably affects how much more you'll do.
If I have any indication that they're about to get Taylor Lewan back in the mix in that first game, I wouldn't play Mariota in the first game. If I was not completely confident in the situation of someone being able to block for him and not get him killed, I would sacrifice those 5 to 10 preseason game snaps if you thought Taylor Lewan
was the fourth tackle right now off the top of your head, hon. I can't think of it.
Is it Pamphile?
Probably Pamphile.
He started
a good number of games. I don't know if you put Kelly on the left and put Pamphile on the right now or what you do if both Conklin, we know, is not going to be part of it. If Lewan's not part of it, look, there are teams that have starting tackles who are Dennis Kelly and Kevin Pamphile, but this ain't one of them, and it's for a reason. You talk about two first-round picks. So, fished around a little on Taylor Lewan last week. My feeling is there hadn't been too much of a conversation. You know, we don't know starting points and all of that, but, do I think there's going to be a monumental move on one side or the other in the next 3 days when what I got was maybe middle of last week? I suspect not. So, I think he's got to make a decision as to how much he's going to make a statement. And it really is in his, it's on him right now to decide what he's going to do and how long he'd be willing to do it. It's not going to cost himself money. He's under contract. He can be fined up to $30,000 a day. That stuff usually gets resolved when you
get the
return.
Money on the back end,
in a new deal or even not. You know, the year that Chris Johnson held out, he got himself a new deal. So it doesn't matter. You're probably forgiven. But even if you're not, what did he get? $53 million or something like that. Maurice Jones-Drew held out that same year and lost.
Now.
And came back with nothing. Now, did they forgive his debt? The presumption is always yes.
Wait, but.
And like, Dodd's paying up to $30,000 a day now.
You know, David Johnson out in Arizona has decided to show up to camp and not hold out. He has made over his career, if you combine his salaries, $2.4 million. Now, compare that to Julio Jones, who has made $63.2 million, and those $30,000 per day fines add up.
Oh, yeah.
On those, on that type of money.
A whole different deal.
What, LaJuan's made around 11, something like that?
Probably. I haven't looked that up. I know what Dodd's made. Dodd has made a little over four. So he's got a little over four. He's due 1.045. And somebody asked me, and it's a good question, if he's cut, if he disappears here, he's definitely getting veteran minimum somewhere, right? Veteran third-year minimum this year, 704. So he would be losing, really, only about a little over $350,000 in exchange for going somewhere else.
Do you sense, Paul, there's a point where, let's just say that the talks are where they are, and they're not going any further with the Titans or him. Is there a point where this is the line of demarcation? I'm not going to go past this point.
For LaJuan?
Yes.
I would hope so, but you wouldn't reveal that to the team, obviously.
Obviously
you
want
to make
not.
It like, hey, I'm not coming
but I'm
back.
Saying just knowing him, would there be a point there, or do you think that he's willing to sit this thing out?
Look, I would think there'd be a point there. I mean, I think at heart, look, and I don't blame any guy looking out for his own self-interest and making the money when he can and doing what he needs to do. I also think he's a pretty good teammate who's part of a pretty good thing, who would have a hard time, I think, not being a part of that thing.
Well, does it become a not-so-good thing that he's a part of if he just has to bite the bullet and say, I'm coming back and I'm not getting anything out of it?
But between him and coaches and him and management, I don't know. My experience, and I think this is the general rule, guys tell guys, Hutton, you've heard this, get paid. Do what you need to do to get paid. And if you're not around, the day you're back, it's hugs and high fives and it's right back to where you started. If you're a guy people are relying on and if they think they can help you. Look, if I'm on that team and Taylor Lewan's not there, I'm disappointed, but I'm probably saying, I'm putting myself in the shoes of a player. He's got to do what he's got to do to get paid. Mm-hmm. This is about business and everything. But I want him here whenever I can have him here because it makes his team better. Period. It's pretty cut and dry.
It's one of those unwritten rules in a locker room that you don't talk about the guy who's holding out for his contract status.
It could be you next.
Well, and when you have leverage in the NFL, you use it.
Okay.
Because you don't have it very often.
He's got the leverage. To my knowledge, the Titans have the cap room. They plan on re-signing him anyways. Why not just do it?
Well, I wonder how much the Mariota deal that they're having to plan for in the future factors into the contract they're working out with LaJuan.
But you want a star left tackle both. Either way.
I mean, they've always been planning this.
Why is this an issue that you're willing to die on this hill?
Yeah,
have the room.
I can understand not wanting to be shoved around by him, and I can understand him wanting it to have been done by now. And frankly, I think it should have been done by now. I said all along I thought it would get done like on the Jarrell case.
Is this a behest of ownership, or is this just John Robinson's decision to not pay him?
No, I think John Robinson probably has a number and a time in mind, and Amy turns that over to him.
I don't
him
look at it like, I'm not saying you have to choose one or the other when I say Mariota or LaJuan. They're going to have both. I think you have to look at how you allocate certain money per season and guarantees and signing bonuses and different things that trigger certain amounts of money headed your way. All of those things factor into future salary caps and how you want to plan.
And Marino's got all of that in a spreadsheet. They know the every.
If it was that simple, everything would be slotted and it would be done.
Well, here would be my thing.
It's always about how much.
If you're planning it, if you're trying to put together this jigsaw puzzle of the future of the Titans roster, this is a prove-it year for Marcus Mariota. If he's going to make top dollars a quarterback with the Titans or anyone else, he needs to go out and prove it this year. So it's a big year. It's a pivotal year for Mariota. You know what you have right now in Taylor Lewan. Why not go ahead and lock up Taylor Lewan? If he's asking for top dollar right now for a tackle, knowing that number's only going to go up a year from now, go ahead and lock him in that number this year, sign him, and then let the Mariota piece fall into place one way or the other. If Mariota goes out there and is not that productive or gets hurt again, and you worry about his injury future with the team, then you go in a different direction. But you're going in a different direction with a star left tackle. Either way, if Mariota's great, which we think he could be great in this offense, if he goes out and he's great and you have to re-sign Mariota, you can base that contract around what you've already done with Taylor Lewan, and it's another selling point to Marcus Mariota that we have your left tackle locked up as well. So
two other guys that, to me, factor into this, Byard, Conklin, who aren't that far away from their contracts as well.
Right.
And, you know, now you can't have the highest paid left tackle in the league, the highest paid safety in the league, the highest paid right tackle in the league, the highest paid quarterback in the league all at the same time. Probably.
Now, this goes back to something we discussed, Paul, the week that Chad was out in Colorado. Joel Corey was with the Wake Up Zone and made the comment that the Titans made a mistake last offseason because the extension should have gone to Taylor Lewan and not Jarrell Casey at the time. It was about a year ago today that Jarrell Casey was sitting in our studio smiling ear to ear, and we didn't know why, like, never seen someone so excited to get back
into
to camp.
Drew Rosenhaus a few days later in the parking
lot. And then he got his big money extension. Joel Corey, former front office guy and agent, told the Wake Up Zone last month or maybe a month and a half ago that that extension should have gone to Taylor Lewan because you get him on the much cheaper then than you will now. Here's that audio.
Taylor Lewan should have been done last year when he had 2 years left. You gave Jarrell Casey another extension. If you're going to do someone of 2 years left, it should have been the left tackle because left tackles are still a premium position, and that market escalates. When we saw Nate Solder get a deal averaging $15.5 million per year in free agency. Nobody is going to confuse Nate Solder as a pass protector with the recently retired Joe Thomas. You're going above Nate Solder if you want to get something done with Taylor Lewan.
Here's the big question for me, and if one of you guys can answer this,
I think they could have done
right
both.
Ahead.
By the way, they could have done both.
Then why not?
It wasn't one or the other.
Then why not? Tell me the good reason as to why they're not signing Taylor Lewan for the money he wants right now.
More than they think he's worth. We don't know what he wants. Maybe he's asking for 20.
All right, Hutton though is saying that he's the top tackle in football. You can argue that if he's asking for whatever the top tackle in football is making, is that too much?
Well, look, I'm just being devil's advocate.
I'm asking you what you think. I think
he should
be paid.
Clearly,
they don't want to sign.
I think he should be paid. But I also think if Nate Solder got a bad deal, if Nate Solder got overpaid, I can understand you feeling like, hey, I'm not going to let this one bad deal skew the market so much that your number is now, to me, extreme. You're worth a lot of money, but Nate Solder's not worth what Nate Solder just got.
Do you think what he's asking for is going to wreck their financial future with the team?
Probably not.
Then do it.
I'm with you. I want him signed.
That's the one question I need to answer.
Here's the thing that would hold me back
if I think this guy's holding us hostage and he's going to hurt what we can do in the future with other players, then I don't do the move. If not, he is one of the best tackles in football. Sign him.
He's made 11 and a half through this year. He'll have made 20.8.
So he's due 9.3 this year.
Yeah.
On that option.
3.41.
Here's the thing that makes it easy for me with Taylor Lewan. There are really no question marks about the guy. You don't have to come up with a solution to fill a gap in why you re-sign him. He's always available. He's healthy. He plays hurt. He's good in the locker room.
He's matured.
His teammates love him. He has matured. The penalties have dropped. And he's the best offensive lineman you've seen in a long time.
I think he's wildly popular in that room, too. I mean, I think
that's
the way everybody loves Mariota, I think everybody in that room loves Lewan, right?
And he brings
you that element that nobody else is bringing you, that's a vital element.
And that mindset is what they want on their offensive line.
Taylor Lewan is the type of offensive lineman, the type of cornerstone tackle that you see one day being interviewed on America's Game because they won a Super Bowl. I mean, I see him and hear him, and that's what I think. Like, this guy one day is going to be talking about a Super Bowl championship with someone.
But
he's that type of guy and that type of locker room presence. At that position.
But like Paul, like Nate Solder, there are certain gaps in his game that, despite the bad contract, if you want to call it one, that he received, you still have to talk yourself through the gaps that are within his overall body of work. I don't know if there are big gaps in Taylor Lewan's game.
I agree. And I think, listen, I'm with you guys. I think he should be signed. But I understand if you're looking at Look, he's going to come in and say, I should automatically make more than Nate Solder. I'm better than Nate Solder. And they're going to say, that team was absolutely desperate to get an outsider to come in despite his whole, you know, it is different. We've grown you. Part of the reason you're as good as you are now is because we've grown
but
you.
But isn't it more than just Nate Solder?
If they lose him, the Titans will be equally as desperate to go in and get an outsider.
Exactly. And that's the circular conversation that's probably going on. Yeah, that's great. If you lose me, you're going to be in the market for Nate Solder.
But look at the offensive guard money this offseason.
It's outrageous.
All of that factors in, too. It's not just about the tackle. It's about the offensive line. And then you put it at left tackle and what he means to the offense moving forward. I think he, you know, if you're going to hold out for minicamp because of leverage reasons and hope that that spurs discussion, I don't know why you show up day one. If I'm the agent, I'm not thinking that. Would you guys be saying that just from the business perspective of it all?
No, I'm looking at Solder's contract now. They have an out after two seasons. Potential out in 2020, which means 2 years, $35 million, and they'd swallow $8 million in dead cap. Total value, 4 years, $62 million. That's where they're starting, at the very least. 4 years, $62 million. Now, keep in mind also, and this is not an ideal scenario, but this is not a sign him now or sign him before the start of free agency or lose him.
Right.
They've got a franchise tag.
Right.
And maybe in their formula, guys, they're talking about, all right, well, here's what we envision for Byard, and here's what we envision for Conklin, and here's what we envision for Mariota, and Lawan's the guy to get tagged if we can't get an agreement. You know, but this is also the next chapter of John Robinson. We haven't seen extension land with John Robinson, right? Outside of Casey. There was no ticking clock on Casey.
It is the storyline as camp opens officially. Well, it's underway, but when all of the players report on Wednesday.